Fantasy football advice. Ready? Let's look ahead a little bit on a couple situations. I'm considering trading high. One, if you have Austin Ekeler, do you move on him now?
Yeah, I want to get one or two more weeks out of him. I'm an Ekeler owner, and I'm looking at Melvin Gordon as not potentially coming back till maybe week 6 through 9. Really, that's where his deadline would land for him to still be eligible for the reason that he took off this amount of time. I know that's it's out there, but man, Eckler's just giving us so many points. Can you feel like it's time to let go? Or do you want to say, I want to get one or two more weeks out of him?
It's always a tough call in this situation.
I mean, I'm more willing to trade high on a wide receiver because they're so much easier to replace. If I had John Ross right now, I would be offering up trades like crazy, because how long can Andy Dalton keep up a ratio where he's not matching interceptions to his touchdowns?
You wouldn't hold on to Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would. At this point, okay. I really do feel this kid lives in a vacuum, and he is not going to get in trouble for anything. It just seems like everything is deflecting off of him. It's like he's rubber, we're glue, right? And now that he's in the Patriots system, I just feel like he's even more guarded. Brady's going to prove the point. They're going to prove the point. They're going to want him to get in the end zone every week, because why else would they be going through this extra drama and nonsense? So it bumps me out for Josh Gordon, because he looked so good week one, and I have some shares of him. I really didn't get any shares of Antonio Brown, because when he was a Raider, I had one. I traded it away before I got to even use him with the Patriots. But, you know, it bums me out for Josh Gordon's value for us fantasy owners.
Lisa Ann does fantasy. She also does Friday Night Fantasy. Those are both on SiriusXM, and you can find her on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Lisa Ann. So I want to go through these new quarterbacks. I'm going to take out Teddy Bridgewater. So say I'm in a two-quarterback league.
Which I'm in so many, and it's brutal right now, isn't it?
And I need someone. I'm going to give you all these names. Ready?
Yep.
Luke Falk, Minshew, Kyle Allen, Daniel Jones, Mason Rudolph. What do we do? Which one?
I wrote him down. Okay. So I don't dislike Minshew. You know, he's been connecting with DJ Chark. He's super confident. We now know this. Probably the Nick Foles injury was the greatest thing to happen to those of us that didn't know about the dynamic person that is Gardner Minshew. So we celebrate this. And also, you know, I'm not afraid of Daniel Jones. I just don't want to start him right now. So if you can pick him up and sit him on your bench, you know, after the bye week, Golden Tate will be back for a suspension. I think he's going to be really the facilitator for some action. If you have Evan Ingram, you're great, but there's just not a lot of strong offense, and the defense isn't working that well for the Giants. And I think Eli being benched is one thing, but Daniel Jones stepping into a shaky situation is another. So I just want to wait till there's another strong positional player, but I would put him on my bench for sure.
Minshew mania also includes the mustache. Where are you on mustaches?
You know, it depends how a guy's wearing it, right? I mean, if you're wearing it to be funny about it, I think it's kind of great, right? I mean, his whole shtick, I mean, the getup he got out of the plane in last week, like, everything about it, I love this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just like when Fitzmagic came out after game 4 last season.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing. So this is all working for him. Now, you had sent me this article, and by the way, I was on Cam Soda last night. I was talking to my room about this, them offering this endorsement deal. Listen, somebody's got to take this role now that Steve Hirsch no longer has Vivid. And remember, Steve Hirsch used to be the person that we could rely on. Tan Mom, you know, all of these people that would surface through the fame of TMZ,
right,
or what have
of course,
you.
Yes.
Steve Hirsch would offer them something. We'd all love it. We'd all picture what it would be like. It would never come to fruition, but it's brilliant marketing.
Are you an adult film historian like I am and so many of my listeners are? When did the mustache sort of disappear from the porn world on the guys?
You know, I made a hard left, like, I'd say 1990. Mm. I think they thought it was dragging over from the 80s. I missed it greatly. I thought it was awesome. I did get to experience the beginning of my career. There were still a lot of mullets in the business. And just the other night, my neighbor and I were going through some boxes of old photos of mine, something I always do when I'm putting together a book because it really helps you jog your memory. And she grabbed a photo and she's like, is that what a mullet looks like? I mean, she's 30, you know?
She's
young. And I'm like, yeah, and if you would have had that with the porn stash, I'm telling you right now, you would have been turned on. She's like, no, I wouldn't have. I'm like, it just went with porn. Yes, I'm a porn historian.
Well, yeah, there you go. What do you think of a big red mustache, like almost like barbershop quartet?
It depends where we're going. You know what I mean? If I'm taking it at an event, it could be fun because you're going to look great as my sidekick in photos. That's one thing. If I'm taking you to work Radio Row with me at the NFL draft or something, I might reconsider.
Yeah. That's what I can grow. So.
But that'd be like Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton grew it out, it would be like the red rocket on fire on his mouth.